In this screencast, let's take a look at how easy it is to put an OData feed on an existing data source. You can use OData to expose many different types of data sources, including relational databases, text files, spreadsheets, all sorts of things. And in this example, we're going to use an IBM DB2 database and expose that via an OData service, and then show how that provides simple standardized access from web browsers, client applications, mobile applications, even from Excel with the free Power Pivot add-in. Before we get started, I have one slide to show you the basics of the architecture here. We have a DB2 database. It's out there in the IBM cloud. Details don't really matter to us. We have a connection string, and we have a username and password. We have credentials to connect to that database. We're going to go into Visual Studio and create an entity data model, an empty website. And in this entity data model, we'll choose what we'd like to expose in the back-end data source. Typically, your database, say this DB2 database, is structured in a way that's optimized for the particular storage medium involved, DB2 in this case. And in the entity data model, we have some freedom and flexibility there to choose what data we expose and how that's structured. So it may be a little different from the back end. We'll rename some things, we'll choose just the entities we want to expose, define some relationships between them, and so on. Then we'll create an OData service that connects to that. This is a WCF data service, and as you'll see, we just have to modify a couple lines of code, and we're up and running with our OData service that will expose the entity data model. We'll take the OData service, entity data model, and the website containing them, deploy all that on a Windows Azure virtual machine, and now we have a public endpoint. Anybody who has that URI can get at this OData service and query the data. And through that endpoint, one of the things that's really cool about OData is you can return all the metadata that defines the entity data model. So client apps or dev tools can say, hey, what data do you have to expose? And once they see what entities are available, know what they can drill down and query into. There are some off-the-shelf OData readers that do exactly that and can hit any OData service. Then the final step here is we'll take a look at some of the ways we can get at that data. We'll see some queries in a browser, a .NET app, a mobile app, and Excel with a Power Pivot add-in. So let's get started. First thing we need to do is install a driver for DB2. If we go to the IBM Download Center, we want to install two things, the IBM Data Server Driver package and the IBM Database add-ins for Visual Studio. I've already installed both of those on this machine, so we can go ahead and get started and go into Visual Studio and test our connection. We want to make sure here that we can connect to our database. So I go Tools, Connect to Database. In here, you'll see we have many types of data sources supported, and because we've installed the driver, IBM DB2 is one of them. We'll go in here and put the name of our host, and then here I need to put in our credentials for access to it. And once we've got those credentials, the name of our database is sample, let's just test our connection and make sure we have all the information we need. Test connection succeeded, so we're ready to go play with that data. So now we're going to go create an entity data model and expose that data. The first step here is to go into Visual Studio and create a new ASP.NET empty website. This is what we'll deploy to Windows Azure as our OData service. I'll name it OData DB2. Then I'm going to add an ADO.NET entity data model. We'll call this sales model because we're going to expose some sales-oriented data. I'll say yes to the prompt about putting it in the AppCode folder. Now here, I'm going to select generate from database. And what that means is it's going to go out to the database, the DB2 database, and retrieve the DB2 system catalog, as they call it, DB2 jargon. And that's all the tables that contain information about the database, what tables and views and stored procedures it has. I'll say yes, include sensitive data in the connection string, and here I'll call it sales entities for the connection settings. And so now it's going out to the DB2 database, getting that system catalog, and in a moment we're going to have the option to select from the tables, views, and stored procedures that are in the database. So here are the tables. We're going to expose a few specific things here that are for our sales data model. Department, employee, we're going to have the employee photos. Those will be kind of interesting to see how that works. Inventory, product, product supplier, and suppliers. So those are the tables we'll expose. We will not include foreign key columns in the model. We don't need to expose the foreign keys, and we will have relationships between the entities so that consumers can navigate the model as they would with foreign keys, so we just don't need to expose those. Here for the model namespace, let's call this sales model. Click Finish. Visual Studio is now generating an entity data model for my selections. Now we can customize this entity data model in many ways, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to show a few quick examples of the sorts of customization you can do, and then I'll do a bunch of customization and we'll come back and look at how to put a data service on top of it. First note, the first name column there, it doesn't have an A in it. That's not very intuitive for developers later trying to consume the service, so we'll just correct that and put an A in there. We can also rename some things. This entity employee has an entity set name over here of all caps employee with lowercase s. That's not very intuitive for later, so let's change that to employees like that. Birth date, hey, it's a sales data model. We don't need birth date, so I'll just delete that so that we won't expose that. Now keep in mind, I'm just playing with the entity data model here. We're doing nothing to the underlying database. We're just choosing what we're exposing and how we're exposing it, how it looks to developers who consume this model later. Here I'm going to take salary, bonus, and commission. Those are all related to this employee's compensation. So why don't we refactor those into a complex type, and then we can name that complex type compensation. So this is an example of types of things we can do to tidy up the model and make it more presentable to developers later, more intuitive, more consistent. So now I'm going to do a whole bunch of these sorts of changes to just clean up this particular model, and then let's look at the next step, putting a data service on top of it. Now I've finished customizing my entity data model using the interactive modeling and mapping tools provided by Visual Studio. You can see that I've exposed five entities here: employee, department, employee photo, supplier, and product. And we have relationships between those entities. Note the navigation properties: parent department, sub-department, with the relationship back into the department entities. Manages, for who this employee manages if they are a manager. The relationship to photos, the relationship between suppliers and products. And note some of the things that we've not exposed. There was a product supplier table in the original data model back in DB2. We've not exposed that because all we care about for this purpose is the relationship between suppliers and products. We don't need to expose that linking table to accomplish this. In addition, we have some things that aren't in the original tables in the database. Quantity and location, for example, for product. Quantity is a scalar property derived from the inventory table. We've not exposed the inventory table because all we care about for these purposes is the quantity of this particular product. Our model is now ready to expose as an OData service. Before we move on to that final step, one thing to note here, if I right-click and select Update Model from Database, this is how I would go back and change my mind about which tables I've exposed, and then I could further customize my entity data model. We won't do that right now, but I just wanted to show you that it's very easy to go back and select a different set of tables, add some things, and so on. So now we're going to go put a WCF data service on top of this entity data model to expose it as an OData service. To expose our entity data model as an OData feed, we go add new item, and we're going to add a WCF data service. Since this is sales data that we're exposing, let's call it salesdata.service. Now we just need to do a couple of things to get up and running here. Note here it says to do, put your data source class name here. This is where we put the name of the entity data model that we're going to expose. So, sales entities. Note autocomplete helped me remember what we called that. Here I'm going to uncomment this line. This is where we set access rules. For purposes of this demo, I'm not going to go into the details of OData security and authentication. We'll point you to resources to learn more about that later. But one thing to note here, we provided read access to everybody. If I delete that, now we have read-write access provided wide open to everyone. You wouldn't normally do this, but for purposes of a demo, I'm just going to open things up for a minute here. And then one final thing to do, which is an OData best practice, is to set the entity set page size. And what this is about is you could do a query later that would return, let's say, a million records. And that might not be a good idea to return a million records for performance reasons. So here we can set the maximum number of records that any query will return from our OData service. I've set it to 50. So if we do a query that will return more than 50 records, we're going to get the first 50 with a temporary URI at the end linking to the next 50 and so on. So that's just a way to make sure that you don't get stuck with a really large query running. And then a final thing to do, and right-click on Sales Data Service and set it as our start page. Now let's run it and see what happens. Click Start Debugging, and it's launching our OData service. We're going to say, yes, go ahead and modify the web config file to enable debugging. And we're live. Here is our OData service. So at the root of the service, this URI here, we are returning the set of entities we've exposed. Note these are the five different entities that we exposed in our model. Now if I put $ metadata at the end of this URI, this is a bit of OData syntax that lets us return all of the metadata for the entity data model. So this is the information that can be used by developer tools like Visual Studio, as well as your client applications, to figure out what's being exposed by this model that I can query. So now that we've created an OData service and it's up and running, we're going to deploy it to Azure to make it publicly available, and then look at what we can do with various clients who can operate against that service and consume the data. We've now deployed our OData service to Windows Azure. I'm not going to go through all the steps here involved in deploying a Windows Azure virtual machine that's hosting our service, because we're mostly focused on OData, and I want to show you a few different clients who can access this service. However, if you want to learn more about that, go to windowsazure.com, click Manage, and under Windows Virtual Machines, you can learn about how to deploy a Windows Server virtual machine to Windows Azure. We did that. We installed our .NET app on it, the OData service that we were just looking at running locally. And we also had to do a couple of things, install that DB2 driver, for example, all the same things you'd have to do to get it up and running locally. Once we've done all that, it's live in the cloud at this endpoint, odatadb2.cloudapp.net. So here's our service deployed in the cloud, and you can see the five entities we've exposed. We can look at the metadata, same as we were doing locally. Let's look at a few typical OData queries. I just type employees on the end here. This is the simplest example. And here I'm basically doing a select all against the employee table, returning all of the details for all the employees. If I want to drill into just a particular employee's data, I can put the employee number, key value, right there. And now I just have employee 130's data here. Now I want to show you a few other typical queries. I'm going to copy and paste them so I don't get any typos in this. Here is an example of getting the photo for employee 130. So you see we're getting it from the employee photos entities, and then we have a filter on empno equals 130. Note the very simple, straightforward syntax embedded right in the URI in the browser. So here we've returned the photo. However, it's a binary value encoded in this string, and that's not very interesting or useful. Well, I guess it would be useful if we're consuming that in some other application. But in a browser here, we'd rather just see the picture. So if we go with this syntax, we're saying the same thing, employee photos, employee number 130. However, format equals bitmap. This syntax here will render that in its native MIME type. And here we can see the photograph. So that's pulled from the DB2 database. We can also do a query here with a filter. So here we say filter equals department slash department number equals D11. And what do you think that will do? It will return all of the employees who are in department D11, full detail for all of those employees. Here's an example that combines a few things. We're looking for the top 10 employees by salary. Note top 10 over here. Ordered by salary, order by equals compensation slash salary. Recall that compensation is the complex type we created, which has a salary property within it. And then we want expanded department details, so we just say expand equals department. Very simple and straightforward syntax here, easy for developers to learn, and also consistent across all OData data sources. So these are some examples of hitting our OData feed from a browser. Now let's move on and look at what we can do with a couple of client applications that hit this. For our first example of a client application consuming the service, here's an ASP.NET Dynamic Data Entities website. ASP.NET Dynamic Data Entities websites are scaffolding that comes with Visual Studio that lets you in a matter of minutes create a create, read, update, delete style website by just giving it a data context to point at some entity model you have. In this case, we've pointed it at our service out there in the cloud. We're running locally here. This app is running locally, but it's pointed at the live cloud service, as you'll see in a minute when I make a change and we can see it from yet another application. So here I'm going to page forward to this employee 130 that we looked at earlier. And you can see that this edit functionality just came for free when you select Dynamic Data Entities website. And I'm going to go in here and change her from analyst to CEO, a major promotion. And so it's that simple to edit the data here with the Dynamic Data Entities website. Now let's go back into Visual Studio, and I'm going to open a different project here. What this is a Windows Phone application. We'll run it in the emulator locally. And this Windows Phone application is also pointed at the live service out there. And once it loads up here, we'll have some options for searching the database, doing a few things. And here is our application. We have departments. We can drill down into departments and so on. However, what I want to show you, we'll just pull up that same employee. Her name started with D-E-L, Dolores. There she is. And so now I pull up this person. Note the photo that we saw earlier. See the job title is CEO as I changed in the other application. So here's another just simple example of how we can consume this service in mobile devices, browsers, .NET applications, and others. And as a final example here, I'm going to go into Excel and load up Excel's Power Pivot add-in, and we'll look at how we can consume the data there. Let's look at how we can get at that data in Excel. We can use Excel to do analysis, BI, simple reporting, create charts. We can apply all the power of Excel to that data source, and it's really simple. There's a free Power Pivot add-in that you can download from this page on Microsoft.com. I've already installed that Power Pivot add-in, and once I've installed that, if I go to Excel here, I have a Power Pivot tab, Power Pivot window. When I pull that up, I can click on the Data Feed option, and here I just put in the URI of my data feed. So it's odatadb2.cloudapp.net, the same URI we've been using all along. Here are all the entities I've exposed, and for a quick example here, I'm just going to pull all of those into worksheets. So we're about to create a workbook with 5 worksheets corresponding to the 5 entities that we've exposed through our model. And once I'm done here, show you what I have. So here I have departments. Here's all of the departments exposed. Here's, for example, the employee table we looked at earlier. Products, notice I have the quantity here. So I could quickly do a pie chart or something else if I want to do some reporting based on this data. And I can use Excel to analyze and report on the data that I have. You can point Excel at any OData data source and do these sorts of operations. As a final example of where to learn more about OData, go to odata.org. There you can find links to many of the concepts we've been talking about in the screencast. It's also a nice thing here under ecosystem. You can find consumers and producers of OData. There are some nice live OData services here, things like Vancouver Street Parking, or in particular, check out Open Government Data Initiative, various public government data that's available via OData. And you can use those feeds to play around with OData and learn more. One final thing to know, if you have a Windows phone, iPhone, or Android phone, go search the marketplace for OData. There are free OData readers that you can install. And just like we just saw with the Power Pivot add-in, you just point them at an OData endpoint, and you can start drilling into those data sources. So I hope that gives you a feel for what OData has to offer. OData provides this ability to break down siloed information, open data for the open web, interchangeable consumers and producers, and there's a growing ecosystem around OData.